Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what can you expect to hear during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, let me ask you a question. Would you like to know one possible reason you sometimes fail financially, even though you believe you're following God's financial principles? Well, we're going to talk about it today during our radio seminar time together. Next, we're going to respond to a couple of great real-world financial questions about family finances and Clark Howard. Well, Clark is going to tell us how to track our tax refund for this year. Plus, John Maxwell is going to show us that one is too small a number to achieve much more than just speed. And finally, you're going to learn how to receive our free information package for the month titled Answers to Your Questions About Insurance. So, stay tuned, won't you? You're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's program. And as we always start, would you please join me in a word of prayer to make sure that He is the one that we're going to hear from today during these next 30 minutes? Father, we thank You for meeting with us again today. Will You please give us ears to hear all that it is that You have planned for us to hear, to Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, in all of our times together, you can see that we are drawing heavily on the Word of God. For example, you've already seen the importance that God places on His belt of truth. Remember the Logos, the written Word of God, your Bible? And from your Bible, you have already discovered the two most critical financial principles in all of God's Word. The first is wealth according to God's definition, which is everything that God has ever placed into your spiritual trust account. Time, talents, abilities, skills, money, all the rest. And the second critical foundation stone is stewardship. Stewardship is all about how you manage everything that God places into your spiritual trust account. But for right now, and for our next several radio seminar times together, what I want you to do is to take a step back with me, okay? I want to raise a red flag for you to consider. What kind of red flag? Well, remember you and I, and all Christians everywhere, remember that we often get into trouble basically for two reasons. Sometimes you're going to get into trouble because you are entirely too close to the world. And then other times, you're going to get into trouble because you're not nearly close enough to God, right? You see, sometimes you may think you are close to God and that you are following His principles, but you still get into trouble. I mean, has that ever happened to you? You know, you're moving along in your spiritual disciplines of hearing and reading and memorizing, meditating and studying the Word of God, but then suddenly you seem to crash and burn in some financial or material area of your life. Does that sound familiar? And why might that be? Well, it could be because some of your material beliefs and actions are based on stuff that sounds spiritual, but is not scriptural. I mean, this stuff is called religious folklore. And I'm telling you from personal experience, religious folklore can really get you into a whole lot of trouble. Religious folklore can lead to worldly habits that get you into trouble. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a minute so that you can better learn to recognize and deal with religious folklore. And as you do, you're going to discover the definition of religious folklore. You're going to see some examples of it. And finally, you're going to discover how to avoid religious folklore altogether. My friend, according to the Bible, It is always important for us to see past what we do, to better understand why we do it. Remember, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason, or you can do the wrong thing for what sounds like the right reason. Your goal has got to be to do the right thing for the right reason, which means that you need to get rid of all of those right-sounding wrong reasons. Oh my goodness, don't ask me to repeat that, okay? That was a mouthful, but I think you get the idea. You need to get rid of and stay away from religious folklore. Now, what exactly is religious folklore? Well, it includes the sayings that get you into trouble when you are not close enough to God. It includes all of those sayings that sound spiritual but are not scriptural. Let me give you a true example. Oh, a whole number of years ago, a couple came in for some coaching and some counseling, and the couple was a fantastic example of what a Christian couple ought to look like, both inside and outside the church. I mean, they had a great Christian family. That's why I was surprised when the husband told me that his wife was not speaking to him, and that his children were not speaking to him, and that life in their home was an absolute train wreck, all because their out-of-work son wanted to borrow some money to start a business. And the dad asked me, he sat down and he asked me what I thought about the idea of the mom and dad lending their son some money to start a business. Well, I didn't jump in right away with all my thoughts on the subject, even though I did have quite a few. You know, praise the Lord for that time. I kept my mouth shut and I listened, okay, to what they were saying. And then I simply asked them a question. I asked them, hey, have you guys prayed about this? And they say, well, yes, we have. And I asked, well, what did God tell you? And they said they were confused, because they knew that they had the resources, actually much more than all the resources required to be able to help their son. But the husband believed that God did not want the family to help the son. And I asked the husband why. And the husband said, well, he said he didn't remember exactly where, but somewhere in the Bible it says, never a borrower or a lender be. You know, the dad said, He said, Bob, if you would just help us find this verse so my family can see the basis for my decision, and that I'm not trying, you know, to be a drag on the family, but I am trying to be the best spiritual leader possible by following God's word, even when it hurts. Bob, where does it say never a borrower or a lender be? Well, my goodness. Well, let me ask you, do you know where that's written? And I'll give you a hint. It's not in the Bible. As far as I can see, Ben Franklin mentioned it in his Poor Richard's Almanac. Remember that? But actually, if you do some history research, you're going to find it comes from someplace back in Shakespeare. You know, it sounds good, but it is not from God. It is religious folklore. And moreover, it was causing a whole bunch of grief for this fantastic Christian family. But it sure sounds good, doesn't it? You see, my friend, there is a whole lot of stuff that sounds good, even sounds godly, but when you begin to apply it to your life, you find that you slip, trip, stumble, and fall, and wonder why, because you honestly believe you're doing what God wants you to do, how He wants you to do it. My friend, when there is oh so much that God has to say about money, why do we need to spend part of our valuable time together talking about what the Bible does not say? Well, again, we need to recognize our worldly habits before we can see the need to replace them with godly habits. You've already seen earlier that you often get into trouble because you are too close to the world. Here, you see that you're also going to get into trouble because you are not nearly close enough to God. Now, personal opinion. I know. I've told you that I was never going to share with you any of my personal opinions. We're going to stick to the opinion of the Bible, right? I know that, but I'm going to share a personal opinion with you here anyway, okay? All right. I got to believe that one of these days, another boy is going to throw another rock into another cave over there in Israel. He's going to uncover another bottle, and inside that bottle, there's going to be another scroll. And that scroll, well, it's going to be the long-lost, infamous book from the Antiquities. It is going to be the Book of First Opinions, all right? It is going to happen. You wait. And in that Book of First Opinions will be all of that stuff that sounds good but never came from God's Word, okay? All right, now let me share with you a couple of more great examples of the religious folklore that's going to be part of that Book of First Opinions. Here we go. Here's the first one. God helps those who help themselves. Have you ever heard this? I mean, is that what God says? Oh, absolutely not. He says, I delight in helping those who can never help themselves. Take a look at Ecclesiastes 9:10 when you get a chance. What about this one? Here's a good example of religious folklore. Money is the root of all evil. Is this what God's Word says? Again, the answer is no. This is not what the Scripture says. As a matter of fact, this has to be First Opinions 1:1. This is probably the most misquoted Scripture about money in all of God's Word. What does God's Word have to say? What does the Bible say is the root of all evil? Right. Paul did not say money was the root of all evil. He said that it was the love of it that caused all of the problems. You see, it is not the money you have to worry about. It is your attitude about the money that gets you into trouble. Here's another one. You ever heard this? Poverty is spiritual. Well, I got to tell you, you probably hear this one a lot, particularly when the elder and deacon boards get together to discuss the pastor's salary, right? Lord, you keep him humble. We're going to keep him poor. Hey, listen, but you know what? Nowhere in Scripture will you find that poverty is spiritual. Nowhere. Listen, my friend, if poverty was spiritual, you would find a whole lot more spiritual people in the world today. But most are not. And that is not what the Bible says. God's Word does say, Agar says in Proverbs 30:7-9, he says, two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of the Lord my God. What does Agar ask for? Only his daily bread, only to have his needs met. You see, he recognized that if he didn't have enough, if he were poor, and if his family was hungry, he might be tempted to steal. Might you be tempted to steal to feed your starving family? I'm telling you, I got to believe the temptation would be there. Now, Agar also recognized that if things were going well, if he had too much, he may become too independent and not depend on the Lord. Remember, we talked about our spheres of influences. And by the way, remember that there is no moral value to money. You see, money is not either good or bad. It's not spiritual or non-spiritual. Non-spiritual. No, it's not. Just like debt and credit is not inherently good or bad. Again, it is our attitude that is important. No. Poverty is not spiritual. Now, my friend, these are just some of the religious folklore examples that I have to share with you. Now next week, what's going to happen is I'm going to share several others, and then we're going to begin to talk about how to avoid religious folklore. Finally, what is the point of our religious folklore times together? Well, you need to recognize that the truth of God's Word can be hard to grasp because you have been exposed to the lies of the world for such a long time. You need to become so familiar with the truth, you know, the Logos, the written Word of God, that you can clearly see the difference between words that sound good and the Word that is good. You need to be so close to the truth that a lie is readily apparent. And only then will you be able to replace the words and habits of the world with habits based and founded on God's Word. Only then will you be able to discover what financial freedom God's way is all about. I'm telling you, these are going to be some great and productive times together. So don't miss next week. And by the way, if you need to listen to this one again, this program again, or any of our programs, you can go to the website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. You can find the program recorded there. Okay? So that's it for Financial Bondage this time. Next time, well, make sure and be back. Over a whole lot of years working with Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, we've seen a whole lot of folks ask a whole lot of questions. And I think that's great, because responding to those questions brings what the Bible has to say about family and finances. It brings it into light. For example, here's a great question. Bob, should I help my adult son who still lives at home? Although he is working, he isn't helping with any of the expenses. It seems to me like he is always spending his money and asking me to help bail him out. And as a widow, well, I still have enough money to be able to help him, but I question whether or not I should. What do you think? Well, to start, I suggest that you attend our upcoming Widowhood, What to Do Both Before and After seminar and workshop a bit later on this spring. Now, believe me, you are not alone. There are a whole lot of other widows out there facing the same set of circumstances. Now, what I would advise is that you be very, very cautious here, okay? Now, why? Well, because I got to believe, according to the Bible, that it is possible to financially cripple your son by helping him too much. If you are going to help him, you need to require some accountability from him. And if he doesn't want to be accountable to you, well, then I suggest you refer him to a volunteer financial coach from your church. Now, if your son is wasting his money and getting further into debt and you keep bailing him out, well, then you need to exercise some restraint. If your son is incapable of handling his own finances, well, then you need to get somebody to work with him very closely. You know, find and work with a financial coach in your area, and then you got to do what the coach suggests. Okay? In other words, if the coach suggests that you continue to help, then you prayerfully need to continue to help. But if the coach suggests you back off and not help, well, you got to be willing to do that as well. You see, many parents say that they are willing to step back. I mean, they say that until they come up against a difficult situation, right? And then they cave in to the emotional pressures of that situation. Remember, God's Word says that He disciplines those He loves. And sometimes tough love is the best way to manage this kind of situation, all right? Now, finally, where can you go to get help for yourself and for your son? Well, I would suggest, first of all, Crown Financial Ministries. You could also give a call to the Dave Ramsey Organization, or you can go to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Great question. I think we may have time for one more quick question. Here it is. Should I help my mother handle her money? She isn't handling it well and is constantly getting into debt and then asking me to help her. Now, I don't mind helping my mom. I love her, but I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Now, Anne, believe me, from personal experience, it is very hard for children to give financial advice to their parents. It really is. My suggestions would be to work through a third party. I mean, you could go to your pastor and ask if he knows somebody in the church that can help your mother better manage her money. And if he does, encourage your mom to meet with that financial coach. Now, if there is no financial coach in your church, again, you can contact Crown Financial Ministries or the Dave Ramsey Organization, or you can give us a call, okay? And as you do, please remember that the Bible does command that we honor our parents, but that does not mean to feed their weaknesses. If your mom is not handling her money properly, especially if she's being frivolous with it, and you continue to help by giving her more and more to manage, well, you're not helping solve the problem. You're helping to make that problem worse. Again, a third party, a trained Bible-based financial coach, might be just the answer to your situation. So there you have a couple of very typical real-world questions and some Bible-based financial responses. But let me ask you, do these responses seem comfortable or uncomfortable to you? Look, let me ask you, why do you suppose it is that we share these questions and responses with you? Well, it is so that you can simply see the responses that we give others. Is that it? Or is it to help you see how these Q&As might apply to your life or in the life of someone close to you? You see, if some of these responses seem a little unrealistic in today's world, if some of these responses make you a little bit uncomfortable, then why not go to the Lord in prayer with your Bible open and ask Him to help you become comfortable with the stewardship He expects to see up and operating in the life He is giving you. Remember what you already know. These are His time with you, not my time with you. Here's a question for you. What was one of the first things on your mind after you submitted your tax return this year? Yeah, well, my guess is the question is, where's my tax refund? Now, according to our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard, you need to know that the IRS issued a warning to all of us earlier this year that we could be experiencing significant delays in getting our refunds for this year. So what can you do? Well, you can check your tax refund status on the IRS website through a page called Where is My Refund? That's Where is My Refund? And the easiest way I have found to get there is to simply Google Where is My Refund and then follow the links. Now, once you get there, you're going to need to have three bits of information. You're going to need to have your Social Security number, your filing status, and the exact amount of the refund that you're expecting. Plus, Where is My Refund? That tool is also going to show you three different status levels for your return. First of all, they're going to tell you that it was received, approved, and then they're going to tell you when it was sent. Now, assuming that you electronically file, okay, according to the IRS, you should be able to check the status of your return within 24 hours of the time that you file. However, if you use snail mail to send in your return, it can take up to 4 weeks to begin tracking your tax status. Now, the IRS makes it clear that you should not even think about calling for your tax refund status until it's been at least 21 days since you e-filed, okay? And this is where there is something else. This is where the IRS2Go mobile app can help. That's IRS, the number 2, and the word go, okay? Now you can search for IRS2Go on your smartphone's app store, and you're going to find it. And if you're using a mobile device, well, you can use the link the IRS provides on its website to download that app as well. So the mobile app follows the same protocols as the IRS webpage, all right? So either Google Where is My Refund or download the IRS2Go mobile app to get an idea of the status of your tax return for this year, and hopefully that's going to work for you. Thank you, Clark Howard. Well, it is now time for one of my favorite times together with you, and that means that it's time for our Minute with Maxwell. Recall that each time we hear from this world-renowned Christian author and speaker and coach during each Minute with Maxwell, you are going to gain insight into a single word. And that insight can greatly add, well, it can add a great deal of value to you in every area of your walk with the Lord. Now, today, let's see what John Maxwell can teach us about the word together.
Together is a wonderful word. I often say teamwork makes the dream work. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word is together. I was in Joburg, South Africa, and I was getting ready to fly out of the country, and I was coming to my gate, and there was this big sign on the wall, and it stopped me, and it arrested my attention for a moment and said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I thought, how true this really is. I mean, how many times have we said, you know, it's just quicker to do it myself. Oh, my gosh, you know, I've got to wait on all these people. I'm just going to do it myself. And what I teach people all the time is that leaders are purposely not the fastest. In fact, leaders never cross the finish line first. A leader never wins a speed race. And you know why? The leader doesn't cross the line until the people are with him or her. In fact, it's unacceptable for a leader to cross the finish line without people also winning and enjoying that privilege. You see, leaders understand together. Again, one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. So I encourage you, instead of going fast, go far. Find someone and do something together.
Wow. What can we take away from this Minute with Maxwell? Well, to me, it means that if we tend to do things on our own because it seems like we can get it done faster and more efficiently, well, if we choose to do that, we're likely going to miss out on the road that's going to go on for miles and miles. You know, the road that takes us to places we could never have imagined, and maybe someone else can or already has, okay? That's why we need people. Again, because one is too small a number to achieve much more than just speed, it's often best to slow down and work together. Mm-mm. Thank you, John Maxwell. Well, there you have it. Another time for us to get together and talk about your personal finances from God's perspective is in the books. Now, looking back, you recall that you learned today that one reason that you may fail financially, even when you are trying to work with Bible-based financial principles, well, it's because you are so close to the world and not nearly close enough to God. And when that happens, well, you can fall victim to what is called religious folklore. This time around, we defined it, we gave you a couple examples of it, and we're going to continue walking down that road talking about religious folklore for the next couple of weeks, so don't miss it. Next, we responded to a couple of great real-world financial questions about family finances. Clark Howard showed us how you can track your tax refund for the year. And John Maxwell, well, he just gave us something to think about as he shared his thoughts on the word together. Now, finally, I want to tell you a little bit about our free info packet for this month. It is titled, Answers to Your Questions About Insurance. That's Answers to Your Questions About Insurance, and it's free. It's from Crown Financial Ministries, and all you need to do to receive this valuable resource in the mail is to either give us a call at 828-835-0888, that's 828-835-0888, or you can drop us an email from our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. So, that's it for this week. Sure hope you're going to be back with us next week. For right now, well, let me close us as we started, and that is with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for bringing us together today. Again today, I really do. And for each of the days yet to come. To your glory in Jesus' name, Amen. So have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.